Have you ever felt frustrated waiting for the promises of God to manifest? Well, you know, there is a rest and a peace in the process of waiting, and you can experience it today. So hold on and find out how.
Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you've joined us today in the lounge. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my awesome wife Carly. And we're in the middle of a series here. We're talking about seeing the promises of God manifest in our life every day, praise God. We're talking about confession, creation, and manifestation, how God's promises come about in our life, praise God. So where are we up to, Carly?
Yeah, so we've been talking this whole time about the process of confession, creation, and manifestation, and just about how from the minute that the word of God leaves our lips, it goes to action for the very thing which we sent it to prosper in. But there is sometimes a moment between the minute it leaves our mouth and the moment that we see it manifest in the natural. And in the middle of that time, you know, it can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. It can seem, especially if it's more than a few seconds, right?
That's right.
And let's face it, in today's society, we want to microwave every miracle.
We want everything now.
Everything's got to be now,
you know,
right?
What? It's like if the video is longer than 6 seconds, we're not interested. You know, I pray, God, give me patience now. That type of thing.
I want patience now.
We're very much instant. We're very instant generation.
Right.
And we're not into waiting.
That's
and
it.
We want to make sure that people understand it's not God who's making us wait. God's not holding out on us. But there is a period of time between the seed and the harvest. And sometimes that time can be almost nothing. It could be seconds. But sometimes it can be a period of time. And that period of time, as it goes on, can cause us to get weary, can cause us to be discouraged because we're not seeing the promises of God come about. We're talking about when you sow a seed, there's a period of time between when the seed is sown and when the fruit or the crop grows.
Mm-hmm.
And in that period of time is when often we have to be careful, because that's a period of time we can get discouraged. We can dig up that seed and it can end up not working because mm-hmm. we've dug the seed up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't dig in the seed up. We dig the seed up, but we dug the seed up.
Right.
You don't dig in. Digging's
no,
not good.
No, don't dig it.
Okay.
Anyway.
I knew a guy once who wouldn't dig. They called him Douglas. So carry on.
You should stick to preaching.
I really should.
You know, but in this process that we're talking about, it's right. You know, God's promises are yes and amen, not never, wait, or maybe, right? But in our hearts, sometimes it's just hard for our hearts to really wrap our minds around how good God is.
Amen.
And there can be some things, there can be some hindrances, and so that process is longer than it needs to be, whether that's fear, worry, unbelief, just lack of knowledge, just being carnal, just being more attached to what we feel than what we know spiritually. There is a growth process that is happening. God is not the one holding out on us, right?
Yeah.
Matthew 9:29, according to our faith, let it be unto us. We're the ones, according to our faith and according to how we believing it's going to happen, that determine how we receive from God, not him. So, but in that process, however long that process is that Ash is describing, whether it's seconds, whether you're receiving from God instantaneously, or whether there is a period of time, we can become weary. But what I want to talk about today is that the fact that we can have peace in the process. So no matter where we are in that process, our minds can be in perfect peace. Last time we talked about the combination of faith and patience. In Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says that by faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We talked about patience not being this, oh my goodness, dreary. We're making some new words up today. But a toil, a labor, mm-hmm. but actually patience is a confident endurance. It is a cheerful expectation that something amazing is happening. And we can come into a place where we have absolute confidence that we know that the minute we spoke the word, it is in the creation phase, and we can be giving God glory and thanks that we know that our manifestation is a guarantee. It's not a maybe, right? It's not a wait and see. It's not a, you know, if you do better at, okay? God's promises are always yes and amen. And what that'll do is that'll give us peace and confidence, because we know that something amazing is happening. We just can't see it yet. We've talked about how in the creation phase, the minute between the confession and manifestation, you have the creation in the middle. That's the bit that's invisible. But we can have full confidence knowing that the word of God that's been spoken from our mouth is producing something. It's just working in an area at the moment where we can't see it yet. That's why it's not manifest yet. It's not in the physical yet, but we know something is happening. But I want to look at some scriptures here, because we can have peace in the process. And it's in the process, that in-between phase, that people get weary and they lose heart and they get discouraged. But when we press into the things of God, and it really is a pressing, you know, in Hebrews, it talks about we have to labor to enter the rest that God has given us. You know, this is interesting, because one of the first times that peace is mentioned is in Genesis, and it's on the seventh day. You know, the number seven is the number of completion. Wow. Well, on the seventh day, God, having created everything, he rested. His first, you know, Adam's first job, a day on the job, was a day off. Wow. Was to rest.
And God didn't rest because he was tired, right?
He rested because he was finished.
God, you know, he created everything in 6 days. He was worn out. He wasn't resting because he was tired. He was resting because it was complete. There's nothing more to
do. That's right.
If you're painting a picture, you get to the point where it's just perfect. It's like one more brushstroke isn't needed. That's it. It's you just rest. You step back and it's finished. And that's how God felt about creation. It was perfect and he rested. He took a step back and rested.
And, you know, we've been through so many different scriptures. And if this is the first program that you're tuning in, I just encourage you to go back and listen to the rest, okay? But we can have confidence. We speak the word of God and then we enter into his rest. Because in faith, when we're in faith and we speak the word in faith, there is peace in faith. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this in Hebrews 4. This whole chapter of Hebrews 4 is talking about the rest that God gives us when we're in faith, okay? So it's talking about, it's giving some examples here of Joshua and the promised land. You know, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, there were many of them that couldn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. God was trying to give them rest. He was trying to give them the promised land, a promise. He was trying to make his promise manifest to them. But there were many of them that couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Look at this in verse 4. It says, "For he spoke somewhere about the seventh day like this, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." God rested, okay, because things were complete. Mm-hmm. And again, in the present passage, he said, "They shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter," some of the children of Israel could enter, "and they to whom it was first preached did not enter due to their unbelief." This is referring to the spies that came back, and 10 came back with a negative report and 2 came back with a positive report.
Joshua and Caleb. So basically they saw the same things. They went to the promised land to spy it out. God had told them, "This is your land." So they went to spy it out. They all 12 spies saw the same things. But they came back and 10 spies saw it negatively. They saw it like, there's no way we can do this. And 2 spies come back like, "We're well able, let's go and take this land." And that's the difference in our hearts. How is your heart seeing things? How are you believing? Are you believing that things are just too much? Or are you believing that we've got all things are possible for those who believe? There's a big difference.
There is. And that mindset was the very determining factor that determined whether they could enter into the promised land or not. They all saw the same circumstances. Ashley's dead right. But only some of them could enter in because of how they saw those challenges. Some of them saw them as a challenge that could not be overcome. These giants are massive, too big. They're going to kill us. Others, you know, Joshua and Caleb, it says they had a different spirit within them. They saw the same giants, but they saw them as an opportunity.
Yeah.
An opportunity. They were excited. They inherited the promises of God with faith and patience. Right, that's the difference. That cheerful expectation, that endurance of something good, something amazing is going to happen. Watch God defeat these giants on our behalf. That was their attitude. But this carries on. It says, "So they could not." The other people, to whom it was first preached, they could not enter due to their unbelief. They couldn't see past the natural circumstances. All they could see was the negative. And sometimes, you know, in the period between when we confess the word of God and when we see it manifest in our natural, in our bodies, whether it's a healing, whether it's a provision, an answer to prayer in whatever way, we can be tempted to only look at the natural circumstances. And this is where some of those children of Israel were, and they because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter into the rest that God was trying to get to them. So it said they could not enter in due to their unbelief. And he establishes a certain day saying, today, saying through David, after so long a time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice and not harden your hearts, Okay, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have later spoken of another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. For whoever enters his rest will also cease from his own works, as God did from his on the seventh day. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest, lest anyone fall by the same pattern of unbelief. You see, unbelief comes by a pattern. It is a way of thinking. It's not that we just wake up one day and think, oh, this faith stuff doesn't work. We're going to have to go and get a new Bible. We're going to have to go get a new preacher or a new church, or we're just going to have to go get a whole new religion, or we're going to have to go try something else because this doesn't work. No, unbelief is a pattern. It is a way of thinking. It's little seeds of doubt that get sown over time in our hearts and start to take root, and bear fruit. Last time we talked about the parable of the sower, and how in Luke 8:15, how in the fourth type of ground, they were the people that took the word of God and they held on to it with faith and patience and planted the word of God in their heart, and it bore fruit, right? Mm-hmm. Bore fruit. Well, here, you know, unbelief bears fruit the same way. It comes by seeds. It comes by seeds of negativity. And you are the most susceptible to this pattern of unbelief in the period of waiting. I hate saying that, but you know what I mean, that period of time between when you speak the word of God and when you see it manifest. Because during that time, in the creation phase, you know, confession, creation, and manifestation, we can't see what's going on oftentimes. We can't see the seed that's been sown germinating below the soil. And so we are susceptible to thinking, to just looking at the natural, which doesn't look like very much is going on. That can, if we're not careful, can develop in us a pattern of unbelief, a certain way of thinking that leads to a lack of peace. And, you know, it says here, let us labor, therefore, to enter the rest. You know, it's a fight, isn't it, to stay in the rest of God? It's kind of an oxymoron. We labor and we're fighting, we're working to enter rest.
It's a good fight of faith, you know.
Yeah.
And basically, it's because we're so programmed to perform and to do certain things before we be good enough to receive from God, whereas the gospel turns that all on its head. You know, mm-hmm. what Jesus did, he paid the price for us. He took on our sin, he took on our sickness, he took on our poverty, he took on our anxiety. And we now, just through our relationship with Jesus, get all those things as a free gift. We take on Jesus' righteousness, we take on Jesus' health and healing, we take on Jesus' prosperity, we take on Jesus' peace. So we don't have to do anything. We don't have to make it happen. It's already happened. What we have to do, the only labor we have to do, if you like, the only fight we have to fight is the good fight to stay in his rest. We have to fight to stay in the rest of God, because if we're not careful, our human nature and our religious mindset, we'll end up trying to make it happen ourselves and get back into works and get back into the law and say, if I perform well enough, if I do certain things, if I pray enough and read my Bible enough, I'll be worthy. No, we pray and read the Bible because we want to, because it's a good thing to do. But none of that makes you worthy to receive the promises of God. The only thing that makes you worthy to receive the promises of God is believing that Jesus has already done it. It's believing that Jesus has already done it for us. That's the only thing. Jesus makes us worthy. Because we accept Jesus now, that's why we're made worthy. So we have to labor to stay in that position. We have to labor and make sure we are staying in the position. You know, Jesus plus nothing is all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus plus any of our own works equals nothing. We void what Jesus has done by trying to make it happen ourselves. So that's why we have to labor to stay in that rest, because it's a battle sometimes. Our natural mind, sometimes religion, some churches, some ministries will teach us that you have to do all these things. You know, in Paul's day, it was you have to be circumcised, or you have to only eat certain foods, or you have to follow these traditions, or you have to follow these holidays. I'm telling you, all of that is works, it's labor for the wrong reasons. The only way we receive from God is through Jesus. Jesus alone. And that's how it works. So we have to labor to stay in that position of resting in what Christ has already done. Resting in the finished work of the cross is what we have to do.
Amen. You know, sometimes people ask me, is it wrong to pray for somebody more than once, or to pray for a situation more than one time? Is that showing a lack of faith, or is it showing unbelief? And here's how I like to look at this. It really depends on our motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all about, you know, we speak the word, we confess the word, we sow a seed of faith one time, and then we know that there is peace and rest in that faith. That means we've labored to enter the rest, and then we rest. We've sown the word, we can have absolute confidence that God is working on our behalf, that it's going on in behind the scenes where we can't see, and we just wait. So is it therefore with that same mentality, unbelief, to pray more than once. Well, I like to think of it like this. There is examples in the scriptures of where Jesus prayed for the same person more than one time. He prayed for them twice. It depends on, so it's not a sin to pray for people twice, okay, for to speak the same thing twice. Really, what we're looking at here is what is our motivation behind doing that.
So are we trusting in our prayers?
Right.
Now, this is subtle because it's very easy to do this. We can actually trust in our own prayers rather than trust in the person we're praying to.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of time we can end up saying, well, we're praying the right prayers. And I know what you're saying. I've met people and I've been guilty of it myself, that we pray a certain amount of time. And if we pray a certain way and we keep
praying. Pray long enough or hard
enough. Keep praying.
And
eventually we'll wear God down. I used to believe this before I understood the truth. We'll wear God down and eventually he'll have to just give in. You know, we'll try to twist his arm.
That's what a lot of prayer chains are about.
It's like what our kids do with us. I mean, it's like they ask and ask and ask and ask. And after a while, I'm just so tired. I'm like,
you're so distracted. You just say yes.
Just have it already. Okay, it's how not to parent 101. But, you know, God's not like that. God is waiting to say yes. God is waiting to give to us. He's the biggest giver. He's waiting to give to us. So it's not about us trying to wear God down. It's not about us saying long prayers. In fact, some of the most powerful prayers I've ever prayed have been the shortest prayers. Been like, Jesus, help. He's been like, be gone, and things like the shortest prayers. So, you know, when Jesus prayed, if you look through the Gospels and watch how Jesus prayed, oftentimes Jesus prayed very short prayers.
Yep, short and
you know,
effective.
When our daughter Hannah was healed, it was a very short prayer. Mm-hmm. It was just life to your body, curse the disease, done. And a lot of the time, a short prayer is a prayer of faith. Sometimes a long prayer, I'm guilty of this, we keep praying and keep praying until we see something happen or until we feel like we've prayed enough to get God's attention.
Yeah.
That's religion, that's works, that is not the right thing to do. So I know what you're saying, Carly, that it's about an attitude, it's about where our trust is.
Right.
And we can pray over and over if our trust is in God. Or we can, you know, by praying twice, it might be wrong because we're putting our trust in our prayers.
Do we believe God heard us the first time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is our motivation for praying a second time? I pray for people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And sometimes I'll pray for people, and especially in the area of healing, maybe most of their pain will go, but there's still some pain left. And we'll pray again and we'll see all the pain gone.
Yeah.
That's not sin, right? That's just a process happening. But now, if we were praying again because we felt like, oh, we need a bit more power, right? Or we need to move God, or God hasn't heard us, you know, that wouldn't be right.
But
we're not talking about that. It depends on the motivation of our hearts as to how many times we pray for something, for example.
Jesus prayed twice because there was so much unbelief around.
Right.
The man didn't see his full manifestation right away. So it wasn't that Jesus, you know, thought his first prayer didn't work.
Well, Jesus wasn't in unbelief.
And that's right. Jesus didn't have unbelief. And it wasn't like he thought the first prayer wasn't working or God didn't hear him. No, he just wanted to pray again to make sure the guy had the full manifestation because the unbelief was on the other person's end.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the same with us. You know, if you pray, as long as you don't think, well, maybe God didn't hear my prayer, I didn't say it quite right, or I forgot to say in the name of Jesus, it can't be right, and stuff like that. That's trusting your prayer. That's going back to works. Now, we can pray multiple times if our faith is in God and we're looking unto God. But a lot of the time, if we're in faith, I'm just going to tell you, for me, if I'm in faith, I pray one time and I'm done.
Then you're going to rest.
I've released my faith. God's told me to believe for this. I've prayed for it. I'm done. I'm not going to keep praying and keep praying. Now, when I do pray about it again, I'll give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you've answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord, this is happening. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to see this manifest. So really, any time I pray more, it's because I'm actually giving thanks to God for believing I've already received.
I mean, that's huge. That's a big, I know it's a big mind shift for some people. We you know, we're going to pray. We're going to speak life. We're going to curse the devil if we need to. But we're going to speak life to your flesh, health to all your bones, whatever it is. We're going to speak life to the situation. But then we're going to rest. And you know, when it comes back to our mind after that, we're going to start thanking God for what we already have.
Yeah.
We're not going to ask Him. We're not going to keep repeating the same. But we're going to enter into a phase of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We're through prayer and thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. What you don't want to do is what I've done in times, and I'm sure none of you have ever done this, but you get into the begging God or the bartering with God. Have you ever done that? You know, all these people at home are like, no, I've never done that.
If you do this for me, God, then.
Begging God, God, please make this happen. If you do this for me, and then I'll do X, Y, Z. If you do this, I'll do this. If you, please, and you start bargaining with God or begging God, please, God, start begging Him. You know, we don't have to beg God because He's holding out on us. Like I said earlier, God is not holding out on us. And we certainly don't need to barter with God. Bartering with God is not a good deal. The price has been paid for whatever you're believing for. So your little bit of bartering is not going to help. help. You know, and I've done that. Lord, if you answer this prayer, I promise I'll read my Bible every day and stuff like that. That's not good. So anyway, maybe I'm the only one who's ever done that.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because when we're doing that, we're not really understanding that Jesus has already paid for it all. Mm-hmm. That everything's already done. If we're begging God to do anything, it's because we don't really understand what He's already done for us. We're trying to add to it. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, His full atonement paid for everything that we're ever going to need. Yeah. It paid for our healing. It paid for our salvation. It paid for our forgiveness. It paid for our forgiveness of sins, our deliverance, our prosperity, yeah. Everything. Everything that we're ever going to need is in that package, that sozo. Amen. That's what it is to be saved. Wow. You know, it was the original package deal.
I'm telling you, it's all inclusive. What Jesus did on the cross, listen to this, isn't just enough for you. What Jesus did on the cross was enough for every human being that's ever going to live, every human being that lived before. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals and do all these different sacrifices to get forgiveness for their sins. You do know that none of that forgave their sins. That was all a picture of what Jesus was going to do. The only forgiveness of sins, the only way to righteousness, the only way to healing, the only way to prosperity, provision, the only way to access to these things, the only access to salvation, to sozo, is through Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the only way. So the Old Testament people, they were just doing it in faith, looking forward to Jesus before He did it. And now we just look back to Jesus when He did do it. But basically what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago was enough for every person before, every person afterwards. Enough for everyone, whether they receive it or not. You know, some people aren't going to receive that free gift. Some people are going to make a choice not to receive Jesus. And that's the truth. And then when they die, they're going to live eternally without Jesus. Some people choose to live with Jesus now. But what Jesus did on the cross was enough provision for every single person God's ever created to receive their righteousness, to receive their healing, to receive their prosperity, to receive their peace, to receive everything, to receive the sozo package. Jesus paid for it once and for all. That's why He went and rested afterwards. That's how powerful Jesus' sacrifice was. It's enough. And we don't have to add to it. We don't have to try and bring our good works to it. In fact, Paul put it this way, the Apostle Paul, who was great at good works. He had so many good works and so many, you know, he kept the law, he was a zealot, and he had all this stuff. He said all his good works, all his good intentions, all his religious activities, all his law keeping, it was just like a pile of dung. It was poop compared to what Jesus had done. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he was saying. Because Jesus' sacrifice is more than enough for every single person, praise God. And all we have to do is receive it with thanksgiving and believe it, praise God. And we'll see it activated in our life. Amen. Isn't that good news?
It's powerful. And you know, how do we know if we're in peace or not?
It's a good point. I mean, good question.
Here's the thing. We're talking about everything that Jesus has paid for on the cross is for us today. Everything. It's not just our salvation that He died for. It's everything. He's even your peace, right? I'm reading here in Isaiah 53, and I'm sure that this would be familiar to many of you. He said he was, verse 3, he says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Those words sorrows and grief, that's actually talking about pain, grief and affliction, disease, okay? He says, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. Right? So this is the prophet Isaiah talking before Jesus was even born. And that word peace is shalom. Not only did Jesus pay for your health and your wholeness, he paid for your peace. Yeah. The word shalom, it means rest, health, happiness, wholeness, prosperity, peace, safety, favor, and friendship. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what it means.
It's like the Old Testament version of sozo.
Yeah, exactly. And then if, you know, that was talking about something to come. That was talking about what Jesus was about to do on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, that's the other side of the cross, okay? And that says, by his stripes, he's talking about stripes here, by his stripes, we were healed, past tense. So we, you know, in the same way that we can enter into our salvation, we can receive salvation and healing and prosperity, we need to have peace. How do we know when we're in peace? Because we're in faith. We've mentioned this in previous teachings, but there is peace in faith. If there is no peace in our mind, in our soul, then we're not in faith, because peace is a symptom of faith. It's a characteristic of faith.
And sometimes we can be in peace spiritually, but our flesh is still in unrest. And that's okay. That's because sometimes our flesh doesn't understand the promises of God. So you could be in peace in your spirit, but you know when you're in peace because on the inside you're feeling at peace. You're not feeling, you're not running around. You're not trying to make it happen. You're at peace. You're resting. You're in faith. You're just reliant on the promises of God. Praise God. And we're going to have to talk more about peace in an upcoming program, because there's so much here. There's actually things I want to get into, things that Paul shows us. The Apostle Paul will show us how we can get into peace, spiritual peace.
We can have peace in the process of waiting.
We can have peace in the process. And for us, you know, we was waiting for our daughter to be healed. When we found out that it was God's will to heal our daughter, she was dying. But we had peace in the weeks leading up to her healing, even before we saw her healed. Even before we knew she'd be healed, we had peace. And you can have that peace too. When you're waiting for the promises of God to come about in your natural life, you can have peace and have that deep-rooted peace that puts a calm to your storm, praise God. Even though the circumstances might not change, you can have peace, praise God. And next time we're going to show you, the Apostle Paul will show us some steps we can take in the natural to activate that peace that God's got for us. Amen.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Praise God. Well, we're out of time right now. We want to pray for you before we let you go. So, Father God, I thank you for everyone watching today. I thank you, Lord, for everyone listening. You're with them. You love them. You only have good things for them. Lord, I thank you that your promises are yes and amen for them. I thank you, Lord, that you have paid the price for our salvation. You've paid the price for us to receive everything you've got for us. I thank you, Jesus, for coming down, taking our place, paying for our sin, our sickness, our provision, our peace of mind. I thank you, Lord, you've done it all. And I thank you, Lord, that by faith in you, Lord, we can receive those things. And we receive them today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
God's so good. Well, we appreciate you being with us today, and we'll be back real soon. Until next time, remember, don't just live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life. We'll be back soon.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, teredezministries.com.
Hey, thank you for being with us today. I'm sure you was blessed by that program. We were talking about how you can experience peace even while you're waiting for the promises of God to manifest in your life. And you know, we're excited about this teaching. I'd encourage you, go on our website. The instructions are there on your screen. We have a whole series that goes with this teaching. This is just one part of it. So if you get this whole series, it's going to help you receive the promises of God. You know, we can know the truths, we can know the Word of God, but then sometimes we can struggle to see them manifest in our everyday life. It's all very well believing that God wants you well, but if you still have sickness and pain in your body, what's going on? It's all very well to believe that God wants you prosperous, but if you've got no money in the bank, what's going on? And we could go on and on. So we want you to receive the promises of God for your everyday life, praise God. We want to empower you in God's promises. So go on our website, check out this teaching. We know you'll be blessed by it.
Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, teredezministries.com. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
And we say, well, hang a second. This is what's going on in the natural. This is what it looks like in the circumstances. This is what the storm is shouting at me. Mm-hmm. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say about this situation? Because I'm going to go with this report and not the report of the things that are around me.
Amen.
And when we do that, the peace of God, the soul harmony that it's talking about here, harmony, peace, rest in our soul will spring up on the inside of us. And just like when Jesus said, peace be still to the storm, what happens is he silenced the storm. We will silence the voice of those noises around us.
Amen. Those circumstances will have to change.
But those circumstances are subject to change by what comes out of us. You know, we don't have to let the circumstances around us determine whether we're in peace or not.